Dr. Brian King here. Once again, I am on the road, this time coming to you from the great state of Arkansas. And the reason why I'm recording right now is because I am on my way to go meet a couple of musicians. They're a music duo. In fact, that's them in the background. You can hear them on my radio as I'm driving. I'm a big fan. Actually, I'm a new fan, and I'm also big. So, you know, you put those two things together. I'm a big new fan, or a new big fan, or however you want to call it. I'm super excited. I'm heading to Central Arkansas, city of Little Rock, so that I can interview the duo of Cliff and Susan.
I'm here, I'm there, I'm everywhere. Blues, women, and blues. I'm here, I'm there.
I'm here finally with Cliff and Susan, and it's so good to meet you guys in person. I've been listening to your music this whole drive. Which one is Cliff and which one's Susan?
That is a very common mistake. And even for us, we get confused because I've even heard her say, I'm Cliff and I'm Susan.
Yeah, so clearly you're Susan.
Yes, sir, I am.
What's your birth name?
And you're Cliff. And who's this?
This is Booker. This is the, we have one of three.
Yeah.
And this is the original.
So instead of listening him barking in the background, we just thought we'd share him in the video.
That's good. I'm sure the listeners appreciate that precaution.
B-O-O-K-E-R, not Booger.
Booger.
Oh, Booker. So you guys are a married music duo. And I saw that, you know, you've been together for a while, you've performed for a while, you're very prolific, but what came first, the marriage or the music?
Music. We met on stage in 2016 at a piano bar here in Little Rock, and we played together that weekend, met musically. I had a show at about an hour from here at a casino, and I was doing it with me at a piano with a drummer. And I invited him immediately. I got rid of the drummer, whose name was Cliff, too. And I got rid of the drummer.
It's weird for me.
Yeah.
Were you married to that drummer?
No, not married.
Right. But she has a thing for Cliffs.
Yeah, evidently. Or just Cliffs are talented, right?
Yeah.
But so I added him to the show there. And so music happened initially. Love happened, and we hit eloped in Vegas a year later. So it happened pretty quick.
So music happened first. And then it's nice that you found each other. And now you're making music together. Right.
Absolutely.
But you were established musicians.
So I've been in music my whole life. I started playing drums when I was about 4 or 5 and picked up other instruments along the way. When I was 9, I started asking for a fiddle. So I finally got a fiddle when I was about 10 years old. Took a few years of lessons. That's the only thing I've had lessons on. And just from there, picked up more and more instruments. And I've played in Nashville, lived in Nashville, and played all over the state and country. So then I finally ran into her at Willie D's in 2016.
So my history was I took 10 years of classical piano lessons, grew up in a very small town here in Arkansas, and went to school for math and science, got a degree in math with minor in physics, and was working in corporate world here in Little Rock, and discovered piano bars and realized that I might be able to do music as a career, or at least a side hustle at that time, realized that I was pretty good path into the music industry doing piano bars. And so that was in 2003. I've been doing full-time music for 20 years and met him 7 years ago now, almost 8 years ago. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Almost 8 years.
So from math to music. Actually, for a lot of people, they might think, oh, well, that's kind of a strange transition. But I would imagine there's a lot of math in music, right?
Everything to me in music is mathematical. It's all numbers. There's a lot of correlation. And they say when you take music lessons as a child that it helps and improves your math scores. There's a lot of pattern recognition things that exercises that muscle in your brain, that music activates all of your brain. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, definitely a lot of correlation with mathematics there. For sure. I'd say that's probably the reason I ended up in math.
I've never shared this with anyone, and I've never shared it on the podcast. I've never even told Sarah.
Oh, this is so special.
I have this weird, maybe a little tick, maybe a little nervous habit where I'm constantly counting with my fingers, 1, 2, 3, 4, yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, yeah. I don't do it all the time, but
is
I'm
it,
always following.
Is it a nerve thing or is it just?
No, it's voluntary, you know, but it's just like, it's a habit that I picked up a long time ago where I was noticing beats and counting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He does that a lot.
Yeah. I do. It's like if I'm listening to music and I'm counting, this is my bass drum. So, yeah. Bah, da, 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 bah. I'll do the same kind of thing.
When we first got together, I remember walking up to the post office and we were mailing something and he was beating and tap, tap, tap. I was like, calm down.
I don't even know I'm doing it.
He doesn't know he's doing it.
So you're making me feel like maybe I should be a musician.
It's inside you.
I'm in the wrong. I've often told people that as a comedian, I envy musicians. I really do. You guys get to perform whatever you've written, in any situation, you know, anything like any, like for example, you're on a stage somewhere and maybe the audience isn't feeling you. Maybe they're not paying attention. Maybe was something happened that day, you know, their team lost or whatever. That doesn't affect your songs, you know, but what I always say as a comedian, those sorts of variables affect comedy, you know? So I've always envied musicians for multiple reasons, you know, and really telling jokes on stage, like, it doesn't appear to be an actual talent.
No, absolutely isn't. I'll tell you, we do a lot of interaction.
There's
in the
a
show.
Lot of crossover in yeah, comedy I and mean, our
we have a lot of timing. We'll stop and have comedic release in our shows and do like some toast, or we'll have some little comedy moments and I bring people to the stage and we'll do like little mini SNL type sketch where you lead them through and you like get to the punchline and comedic release and go. And so we have a lot of that. So I respect what you do and it's absolutely a talent. I mean, it's very cool. And I wish I had more skill set.
Yeah, I envy comedians because I go up there with a guitar and songs that we know work. You go up there with material that you've written,
yeah.
And you have no idea if it's going to work on this audience to the next audience. Yeah. It might work really well in one city and not at all in another. So yeah.
You guys are making me feel so much better about myself.
Well, no.
Really. Now you validated the finger tapping, and now I'm like, musicians also, envy comedians.
Yeah,
so it all works around. What kind of music do you guys do? Now, you lived in Nashville. We're here in Arkansas. A lot of people who don't know who you are going to assume it's country. You know, like, tell us a little bit about your music.
So, I mean, you know, we actually both come from doing a lot of cover music and cover shows. So we play all kinds of music. So there's a lot of influences in our original music. But we are country, so, you know.
Our original music is country, for sure. And that's who we are. I grew up on a farm, riding horses, cows. Everything about country music is me. I love the boogie-woogie style piano playing with the Jerry Lee Lewis little rock and roll twist is probably what you're hearing in my hands, but definitely country music is us. But when you come to a lot of our shows, we do over 200 shows a year, and we're doing a lot of cover shows, which is country rock, oldies, blues, pop, I might even rap, you know? I mean, like,
really?
A tongue-in-cheek comedic release, all right?
I would love to see that.
Sure, yeah. No, and like last night, we did a show. We ended up three shows last night, but we ended up at the piano bar, and, you know, in fact, a friend of ours is in town from Chicago, and she ended up doing a lot of rap, but I'll do Snoop, or I'll do Ice Ice Baby, or I did Fergalicious last night. So, I mean, you never know what people are going to request, and so that influences us as artists, but also I like to say that when you learn that many hot top hits from any genre, any decade, you're influenced by the greats and like the hit songs and what makes a good hit song, and that influences your writer, I think it's, or your writing, and then allows you to become a better writer and an artist in your own right.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think if you appreciate a lot of different kinds of music listening to our album, I think you'll probably gather where we might have taken influence from. And our latest release that we have not released yet, unreleased, it's got kind of a lot of that New Orleans and a little bit of blues vibe in it. So there's a lot that we try to gather from. And
you'll hear a lot of keys, a lot of fiddle.
Yeah.
And so Cliff plays in our shows as a duo, guitar and fiddle, and then I'm on keys. With the full band, he goes back and forth between fiddle and guitar, but when we release the album, the instrumentation for sure has a central keyboard element as well as a guitar and fiddle.
Yeah, and that is one of the things that I really, really like about your music, is that I'm a sucker for a fiddle, and when I hear it in music, it just kind of like, it just makes me happy. It just makes me like energizes, you know, and banjos. Mm-hmm. I'm big on. I wouldn't say I'm a country music fan per se, but every time I hear those instruments, it makes me happy.
You probably like Beyonce's latest Texas Hold'em. Yeah. Got that banjo in the beginning. Yeah.
That's the state of country music right now.
Yeah,
is
right.
Beyonce.
Well, you know, and it's so funny. I was talking about this to another person, but there's so many, you know, like metalheads and, you know, crazy screamo death metal. that love bluegrass, because there's mm-hmm. kind of a crossover somehow to death metal and banjo music.
It's yeah.
But there's so many people that have that crossover, and it's kind of fun to see a whole bunch of different cultures and, you know, music appreciation mm-hmm. of all genres. And right. yeah,
One of my recent guests on my podcast is a musician, Phil Johnson. He's from mm-hmm. California. And in that conversation, we started talking about metal and covers and stuff, because he's got a new release coming out that's a very hardcore metal cover of Copacabana.
Oh, you know? Wow.
And in that discussion, I happened to tell him one of my favorite genres. I don't even know if you call this a genre, but one of my favorite genres is bluegrass covers of other music.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like
the Cleverleys. I'm
yeah,
sure
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's some really good stuff out there.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to label you guys because, you know, you're an artist. You can label yourselves. But I was hearing a lot of bluegrass in your music.
Absolutely.
Is that fair to say?
Of course,
sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the genre, if you really get specific about what genre that fits us holistically, would be Americana, which is kind of like that blues, folk, country with a little bit of rock in there. Sometimes it's like an all-encompassing genre term. But for sure, when you hear the fiddle, Cliff has played in bluegrass bands. In fact, he didn't grow up in Mountain View, Arkansas, but grew up going to Mountain View with his grandparents, and that's where a lot of the bluegrass is very rooted. They sit on the town square and they jam out in the circle, and that's where he got a lot of his fiddle licks and guitar licks. And so a lot of bluegrass influence for sure. And he plays dobro, mandolin, banjo, fiddle. There's probably one or two other instruments that are bluegrass.
So pretty much anything
yeah.
with a string,
yeah.
really. What exactly is a fiddle? I just shared with you that I really love the instrument, but is it the same thing as a violin? Is it just like a country way of saying violin?
It is. The short answer is that it is just a violin. And, it comes down to just how you play it. If you're playing country or bluegrass, they'll call it a fiddle. If you're playing classical or jazz, probably a violin. The long answer is way back in the day when, you know, the Deep South, you know, violin is traditionally a Chinese instrument. It comes from that part of the world, and it's been the same way for centuries. And then when America and the South kind of started taking that into their music and that folk music, they kind of created their own version of it, and it was a little bit shorter scale, and it was kind of like a bastardized version, if you will, of a violin. So there used to be
but now it's the same. And I've heard it say people say a violin wears a business suit and a fiddle wears overalls.
That's good to know. All right, I'm not a total moron when it comes to music, but so you guys have been playing together as a duo for how long? Did I miss
7 years?
Yeah,
almost seven years.
Wow. You managed to squeeze in 200 gigs a year. And now, are those nationwide or all over the world or primarily Arkansas?
Well, we have a 5.5-month contract every year with the casino in Hot Springs, Arkansas, that corresponds with their thoroughbred horse racing season. So mm-hmm. we go from December to May every weekend, which is what we're doing right now on the weekends. We pick up quite a few conferences, festivals, anything that fits around that schedule, because we're there every Friday, Saturday. We spend all of July in Santa Barbara at a venue there playing 6 nights a week for a month.
Oh, wow.
And it's called the Red Piano. It's a beautiful club on State Street in Santa Barbara.
I think
Barbara.
I can picture it. It's been a while since I've been to California, but I think I know it. Yeah.
Well, it's been open for about 7 years or so,
yeah.
a little bit before COVID. And then we go to the Island of St. Martin all of November, which is the Red Piano there. Same owners mm-hmm. that opened both
wow.
venues. So we do those. We've been to Amsterdam, Norway. We don't have anything in Europe in the next 12 months, but certainly would love to get back out there.
Mm-hmm.
Doing some in New York this year, some private concerts. We're talking to some folks in Cape Cod. So, I mean, we have a little sprinkle in here and there, but we have some pretty significant residencies that we work through every year.
And what's it like being a married duo when doing all these gigs?
Well, it is a joy. Every day. Every day is a blessing.
It really is. It's an adventure. It's
yeah.
a lot of fun. Our personalities are yin and yang, so it works very well. We're together 24/7.
Yeah.
And if I'm gone from him gone away to run errands for an hour, I'm on the phone with him half the time, still talking to him. So I think it just works for us. Yeah, somehow. And I know you said you work with your significant other, and, yeah. and that is, you know, it takes a certain personality type and yin and yang and a balance. And I mean, it's not always perfect. You know, sometimes we might be, I will tell you, music is therapy and therapeutic, because if we're having a spat or something and we hit the stage, it all goes away, and we're there and it just goes away immediately. So music has been really what I would say the glue of it all. Really.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
It would make sense. I mean, you met on stage.
Sure.
Was music involved in the wedding? Or you said you eloped, right?
Mm-hmm. We did. We went to Vegas, and we actually ended up knowing the Elvis that was there at our wedding.
I was going to ask
if there was an Elvis.
Yeah.
He didn't marry us, but he did sing
to
us.
So we had been engaged for about 5 or 6 months, and we did not know how we would get married because we were so busy, plus we had friends all over the world, and I thought it was I'd never been married, no kids, either of us. And so I'm the only daughter in my family. And when we got to Vegas, we were performing in Vegas. We were coming back from Santa Barbara, headed to Arkansas, driving through. And we thought, we were driving down the strip, and we thought, we should just do it here. And then we looked at each other like, that's not a terrible idea. And so about an hour later, I'm like, well, let's call the families and see what they would say if we were just to elope here. And they're like, that's fine with us. And I think my dad was secretly, like, relieved that he didn't have to go through the whole thing.
Yeah. No, he's got to get a tux.
Yeah.
He's got to give you away.
That was in 2017, and we got married we streamed it live online to the, mm-hmm. and before that, streaming was not a big thing, so it was kind of a
pre-COVID,
cool thing.
Right? Nobody really streamed.
No,
much,
but we did. We streamed it, and we had a chihuahua. One of my friends lived there in Vegas, and I had performed and lived in Vegas for a long time, so I had a lot of friends and resources there. But within 3 days, we had a wedding dress, a venue, a videographer, Elvis, a priest, all of it ready to go, a photographer. We did the whole thing, and it honestly, in hindsight, it was exactly what should have happened for us.
I think you were about to say we had a chihuahua.
Oh yeah,
I was gonna say so Booker wasn't
Booker wasn't born yet. He's the OG of the three little dogs we have. But my friend he's since passed on. But he, a little chihuahua that had a stroke, and his little tongue hung out.
Stitch.
He had a tuxedo on. We had a potbelly pig that we led down the aisle with cherry tomatoes. And it was just like something.
It was also
at the venue that the movie The Hangover featured.
And you had an Elvis, which is which makes sense, because here we are, Little Rock. We're like an hour and a half or so from Memphis. Mm-hmm. Speaking of the fact that Memphis is nearby, what are some of your musical influences?
So I playing a lot of different instruments. I have a lot of musical influences. A lot of guitar heroes, Brad Paisley, you know, Van Halen. There's a lot that have inspired me. But I love blues music, and I love bluegrass. So when I play fiddle, I have a lot of bluegrass influences, and I can't really pinpoint, you know, too many, because there's so many.
Yeah.
So I think she probably has a better...
He's constantly learning and researching and watching YouTube videos and just always working on his craft, and whether it be guitar or fiddle or whatever instrument. For me, I took 10 years of classical piano lessons, so I really enjoyed classical music growing up. And then when I heard Jerry Lee Lewis, when I heard Boogie Woogie Style playing, I was like, that's what I want to do. That's what kept me taking lessons, honestly. And so just that rockabilly type, Leon Russell, of course, any piano great that's pop rock, you know, Elton John, Billy Joel, those are, of course, influences. As I've gone into the piano bar world, where I'm literally, like, constantly being inundated with learning, the name of the game is to learn as many songs as you can from any genre. So that's influenced me. But vocally, I would say Bonnie Raitt, Wynonna Judd for me. Mm-hmm. A lot of that growing up was like Stevie Nicks, those types. And my voice has kind of become a little bit more clear over the recent years because I've been working with a vocal coach. I had a lot of rasp in my voice just from being on the road and working in smoky bars and, you know, mm-hmm. wear and tear on your vocals, which I leaned into that and I was like, well, that's my sound, which I still have that. But yeah, absolutely. Janice.
Well, in the bluesy. Susan realm, Susan Tedeschi, I think there are some songs that y'all are almost identical on.
Susan Tedeschi. She's Tedeschi Trucks. Very, very awesome blues singer.
Okay.
She's actually a pretty good guitarist. She's with Derek Trucks. He's an incredible, phenomenal slide guitar player. Mm-hmm. One of the best in the world, if not the best.
And so her version of Angel from Montgomery is one that I like to do. But she's in the same, I would put her in the same category as Bonnie Raitt.
Oh yeah.
Vocally, mm-hmm. yeah.
So you guys are self-produced, right? Mm-hmm. You have obviously we're in your recording studio. Mm-hmm. How did that come about?
Yeah, so all every song except for two that she brought over from a Nashville project that we felt fit the album, we did here in the studio. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot of fun being able to have the freedom to record here. You know, you're not paying an absorbent amount of money to be at some Nashville studio.
We invested on the equipment in this studio.
We spent
money, but it's been really nice to have the freedom to come in here and just produce or record when we want to. We don't have to drive to Nashville and then be set up and then get, you know, the pressure of getting it all done in one take or whatever. So we've had that liberty. We took that liberty for 7 years to like really kind of figure out who we were as a duo and as an artist, a duo project. So what we wanted in this album was when you go to hear us live, for it to match what you hear on our recordings. Obviously, there's going to be a full band around us with the production you hear on the album. And then sometimes we're a duo. But at the same time, you're going to hear, when you hear the album, we want it to match the product that you hear when you see us live, whether it's a duo or a full band. But I have to brag on Cliff because he arranged the 10 songs that he produced on the album. He played almost all the instruments, and I mean drums, bass, guitar, fiddle. There's some banjo on one, I think. Did we do banjo?
No, we didn't do banjo.
No, not on that one. strings. I did the keys. And then he will hear the song that we wrote. Mm-hmm. And then hear the arrangement in his head, and then single track start doing every instrument on instrument into what you hear as the final product.
And how many instruments do you play?
I don't know, somewhere around 10,
yeah,
I guess.
It's over 10 if you want to count harmonica, which he started playing recently. And I think we counted 12. It's over 10. It's impressive for sure.
You're just piano, right?
I play piano. I will say I get it.
I don't mean just piano. Is
she
it
does play some drums.
I play drums in the piano bar world. I can hold a drum beat and get the job done. I'm not a studio, you know, drummer by any means, but yeah, I can play some drums and a little harmonica, but mainly just piano. Yeah.
Another thing I like about you guys is that you seem to trade off vocals. Like who is that? You know, this song you sing, this song you sing. You know, how do you make those decisions?
It's kind of, you know, like Little Big Town. It's a lot like that.
Lady Antebellum too.
Lady A also does it quite a bit. But you know, I think it a lot of it is done. I write a lot, and at first when we first started writing, we didn't write together as much as we do now, mm-hmm. and so we definitely wanted to make sure with this album to have
some kind of that
balance, because when you see us live, we actually trade off. It's
every
song,
other song
for song, pretty
back
much.
And forth, yeah.
And so we really wanted it not to be too heavy, one or the other. So
I think that's why Ain't My Baby Grand and Maybe You Should ended up on the album, because we're like, wait, there's a lot of Cliff on here. Maybe we should. And so those songs we brought over, which I'm glad we did, because those have been one of
my
favorites.
And they've really enjoyed those two songs. And even the one that we're about to put out is actually kind of a duet, a bluesy duet.
And I'll take a verse, he'll take a verse. So we're leading shared there on that song.
Do you often write for your own voice, or do you think, oh, this would be great for Susan, or this would be great for Cliff?
We definitely take that into consideration. There are several that I've actually written in the past that are like, oh my gosh, this would actually be better if you were singing this. This would sound really cool for you. So, not all the time. I'd say if I'm writing, it's hard to get out of my own head when I'm, you know, hearing my inner voice singing a song. So, but I think we've gotten better at
High and Dry is an example. The last song on the album he wrote, and I thought I should sing that.
And I was like, oh yeah, that would
make more sense for me.
So there's never like a fight or anything. It's like, I really want to sing this.
No.
You know? I was like, yeah,
not yet. No, not
you're getting too much airtime, you know.
There's no ego involved in that. No. I think we equally just want to put out the best product possible. And I think it's not necessarily like, oh, I got to show myself out, but I felt like because we are so equal vocally in the lead vocal in our live shows, that it made a lot of sense for our actual album to match that balance for enough of me leading vocal and him as well. So we do want to probably strive to at least try to make it very present that we're both leading vocal whenever we release projects.
Yeah, you're both very strong singers. And that's one thing I've also noticed is that you don't do a lot of harmony. Like, you don't sing together.
Well, we do quite a bit of harmony on
okay,
there.
Okay, then maybe I'll edit that out.
No,
because clearly I have not done my research.
No, well, so, there are some songs that are not too harmony heavy.
Well,
so
no, we'll say on like Fiddle and Keys, we don't really sing with each other because that duet, like, I didn't want to take away from your verses because it's
sure.
like.
But the you know, chorus is harmony, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, the chorus is harmony.
Yeah, you know, I think we put the harmonies where it makes sense, mm-hmm. but definitely it doesn't have to be there all the time. So I think from
yeah, we weren't the Eagles.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's not like I gotta have a vocal on there, or we're not putting it on the album. We've never had those.
Yeah, no. You
know,
yeah,
never
yeah.
had that conversation.
What drives you guys?
Just being I get so much... It's magical sharing music with people across the stage. And I'm sure you get this as a comedian. When you go and you have that artistic form and you're bringing that human-to-human moment together, and with music being the facilitator, and just how I lose myself in the hours that I'm on those stages, and that to me is addictive. I mean, there's no better high than that. And then just being able to do that with the person you love, and then now having our own music, and then having people like our music, and we're like... This is just, you know, it's helped us really fuel our momentum and inspiration to continue to record our own music. But mm-hmm. the live shows to me is, that's what keeps me there.
When there's so much adrenaline that comes from it, and I'd imagine comedy, I kind of liken it to golf. Like, I suck at golf, but you get one good swing and you're hooked on it. And I feel like yeah. as a comedian, you make a big crowd laugh at something that you wrote.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, that actually worked. I'm going to keep doing this now. Yeah. I don't hate my life.
Yeah. God, it is like, one of the best highs.
Yeah, and really that's how it is for us, you know, when especially for our original music. You know, mm-hmm. it's one thing to do a cover song that they've
the people
heard,
love, yeah.
you know, but...
Somebody else wrote it.
But to do our original music, and they're like, they're actually singing this. By yeah. the second, third chorus, they're like, oh, they like this song. They clapped for it, and they genuinely mm-hmm. liked it, so...
That's
yeah,
really
it's a cool feeling.
That's got to be a fantastic feeling. I've had a few moments where... after a show, or maybe even a day after a show, I'll hear somebody reciting one of my punchlines. You know, and I just like, whoa, that's awesome. You know, it's like
maybe you need to tell me some of your material and I'll use it in our show.
There you go. But it's like it's probably analogous. You ever, you know, like walking down the street and you hear somebody listening to your music.
Yeah,
or,
yeah.
You know,
yeah. Or when
like
they sing your music back and you know they've listened to it and they liked it enough to listen to it enough to know the songs. That's pretty awesome. That's
yeah.
really
yeah.
cool.
Have you had any fans that tattoo your names on their butts yet?
No, we know.
But you know, I feel like
Kelly.
Enough,
if Kelly watches this,
with
shoot.
Enough liquid courage, we could make someone. Sign something that they didn't want to sign.
Yeah, we have some amazing, I and I don't even like to call them fans because they're friends. When they become like that just, you know, connected with us through our music, that if they become family to us. But no tattoos that I'm aware of, but yeah. we've got some. They're like, we're your groupies. We just
not
love
yet.
Them.
I didn't even know that was a goal, but now it is.
Yeah, is it a goal?
That is definitely one thing that comedians don't get. We don't get the tattoos.
Yeah.
You know,
it's like
but,
you see the people that tattoo Joe Rogan's face on there.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Things like
yeah.
that. Yeah. Or Steve-O.
You know, yeah, you can look at Joe Rogan while you're talking to me. You know, imagine the funnier yeah. person is here.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no need for tattoos, but, you know.
You mentioned your fans are you consider them friends. Mm-hmm. And of course, that's kind of how I feel with my fan base. It's hard to pinpoint like who where what a fan base is, you know, just because mm-hmm. they follow you on social media or just because they buy something, you know. But I've met and continue to meet some really great people, and I have a lot of people in my life who now I consider really good friends who started because they saw me at a show.
Mm-hmm. You know, we've grassroots this, and we are very blessed with some major supporters, people who come and wait an hour before our show to get in and get their table. And so I can't imagine, you know, if I think on the ultimate Uber level is Taylor Swift and the Eras Tour, and just like, yeah. I can't imagine that level of, because then you get the good with the bad, and there's going to be some mentally unstable people who can challenge your safety. Yeah. And so I don't have never had that really.
I think we're almost to that pivotal, like, and I hate to say this because it's not like we're getting big or anything right now, but it's kind of almost at that pivotal place because people are still like, you don't remember me? You know, like, well,
yeah.
no, I've
it's
met
hard,
a lot of
it's
people
hard
now,
to
but,
remember everyone,
you know,
yeah. So if that could be my superpower, know everybody, remember everyone's name and learn as many songs as I could, just download them into my brain. But but we're very blessed with a very, very good, wholesome fan base and friends, like I said.
Yeah.
And I welcome us getting to the next level, but I know that that'll require a team and some learning curve for us to know where you to delineate the safety zone, you know, I would say.
What do you think about the current state of country music?
I think it's awesome. Country's cool again is what Lainey Wilson is singing about right now. Country's always been cool to me. I think that, you know, there's a lot of folks who are crossing over right now and coming from other genres and doing their take on country, and I think it's fine. Like, you know, everybody, music, what to me is interesting is that people get so angry about, like, how dare they and all this stuff, and, like, it's just music. Like, it just, if you like a certain music, if you don't like it, that's fine, too. I mean, you, the traditional country, I think, is what I really am rooted in.
Which is kind of now along that Texas country, that red dirt country. I think it, country, all-encompassing. I mean, I think when people think of country, they think of commercial country, what they hear on the radio, and they kind of disclude all those other subgenres with that Americana and folk and Texas country. So
when you think about traditional country, you're thinking about acoustic instruments. When the digital era came on and you've got digital music, you've got auto-tuning, and you have, you know, drum programmed drums and beats and some of that hip-hop sound, and the digital music started bleeding over into country, that's when people get a little territorial. And I think that there's going to always be sub-genres within a genre, and that's how everything evolves anyway. So, I mean, if you don't like Beyonce's Texas Hold'em and you think it's not country,
Is that
fine.
A country song? I was just going to say, is it a country song?
It's as country as I think she would be. That's exactly what I think she would be.
That's a great way to describe it, because would you describe it as traditional country? Absolutely not.
But it's Beyonce as country, so fine. And come on, girl, let's have some fun. You know, well, hey, I will tell you, we get requests for it, and it packs the dance floor. People like it.
Nice.
If you break it down to what country is a genre of storytelling, you know, and I feel like people have been so long, it's like, oh, hip-hop and rock and pop, it's all gone crazy. But now that people are finally starting to try to cross over into country, because country is very popular.
How many country artists have, like, crossed over there? So I know, you can't go both.
Well,
go
they have, you know, Garth Brooks, Chris Gaines. Anyway,
Taylor Swift, Morgan Wallen, a lot of his
and
music.
And Miley Cyrus started country crossover.
Morgan Wallen has a lot of electronic, and he kind of went a little pop edge, and he charted, and he brought country music to the top of the charts. He
but
and some
my,
others
my
this
point
past
is
year.
To all of that is that, you know, when if we're going to complain about the other stuff and then not accept when they start getting more country, it's like, just let them in. Let them be.
It's fine. The more the merrier. You know? What I love about music is I become music agnostic when it comes to my show. If people are responding to a certain type of music, that's what I'm doing, because I'm there for the performance art at that point in time when we're doing our cover shows. And I want people to just have fun. And if that's what they want to hear, and little kids are going to get up and do the dance because they learned it on TikTok, then that's great. That's awesome, you know?
When there's so many people that are like, nah, I'm never playing Brown Eyed Girl, but we will play it every time because people will sing.
It.
We can get people singing Sha-la-la, clapping together, and at that point, it doesn't matter who you are in the room, everybody's united. That's what it's about. It's not about you on stage.
It's about the crowd.
It's about them.
Every time I've been at a piano bar, I've always been incredibly impressed at the repertoire of the musicians. Like, how do you possibly have that many songs?
Say this, if you've been doing it as long as we've been doing it, then, and your job is to know a lot of songs, it'd be like asking someone who is a professional that didn't been doing it a long time why they know their career and their craft. It's because we do it. That's what we do day in and day out, is we learn the
lots
hits
of repetition.
And we know what people request, and it's our job to learn songs. So there's that. Two, when you learn he's really good at knowing, he'd hear a melody or he's heard it before and he can pick it out real quickly. So sometimes there's a natural ability to remember something and play it.
A lot of ear training involved.
Ear training.
For sure.
And then with the use of technology, if we can hear it in our head, we just need a little bit of lyrical help, then that even opens up more of a catalog to us. So we might tastefully use a device with an app that'll pull up the lyrics for us. And so, I mean, that has really expanded our catalog to be
for
able
sure.
to do that. So, you know, I think it's like, even like in songwriting, the more you do, the better you get at it. And so that would be
and
my answer.
You know, bringing back to that math, you know, every song is basically just a math equation, you know, what chord is going where. And
there's certain
equations
so per genre, too.
Yeah, there's only so many that can be. And so when you hear thousands of songs, then you're like, oh, this is doing that
thing. You kind of know what's going to happen.
So this album that you guys have out, this is your first album?
It's our first full-length album.
And how's it been doing? Because, I mean, it's a great album. Has it been well-received?
Yeah.
Very, yeah. We made number 39, so top 40 on the Apple Country Music Album charts, and that was a huge accomplishment. Literally, for at least 7 or 8 hours, you know, we were right there. Morgan Wallen was right above
us. And Dolly Parton.
Yeah, wow. Parton.
The cool thing about that is a testament to our fan base, to the fan base. We had built a following online because of our live shows, playing cover music primarily, and when we released our album, they were ready for us to do a project like that, and so it was really awesome to have that kind of success and fueled a lot of our excitement and energy into releasing more music. We released a single that led up to the album called Neon Dreams. It's the title, the first track on the album.
Yes.
And it got top 10 in the UK country. I guess UK likes our music too. So awesome. Yeah, it's been cool to see that happen. Yeah.
And also we've got the Arkansas Country Music Awards, which is, they're in their 7th year now, and we are up for Album of the Year.
Vocal duo group, and Cliff's up for Producer of the Year, and for another collaboration he produced. Nice. On some artists. We also got on national television last year when we released our Fiddle and Keys song. We ended up on the Huckabee Show on TBN, and so that was a really cool thing that happened. So yeah, our original music has been surprisingly something that we're maybe a little timid / wanted to let it kind of organically happen, and now that it's here, people are supporting it, we're excited to continue that.
As far as the future, you guys got another album coming out, or you're releasing a song soon?
We have several songs in the docket that are ready to be recorded or already have been some recorded, and we plan to release, you know, every 6 to 8 weeks on a song here and there, so that's our strategy so far. We might end up doing another album sometime in the future.
We didn't plan for October 2023 to be our debut album release. It was like once we felt ready, we had enough songs, and we were like, okay, the timing's right, then let's do it. And I think that was kind of smart, even though maybe we weren't strategizing,
right.
But it happened.
Albums, it's not, a lot of people don't really release albums anymore. They do that trick singles. Release, single release.
And so for us, every 6 to 8 weeks is our plan, and then if we think, oh man, we've got an album's worth, maybe we've got like 8 great songs we released, and now we just need to throw 3 more onto an album and go, here's our sophomore album. That might happen in a year. We'll see.
Very cool. Well, I wish you guys enormous success. You've got another fan in me, and maybe some more from the viewers that watch my podcast and listen to this. Where can people find out about you and you know, purchase your stuff, or just
Cliff and Susan? If you type in Cliff and Susan, our website is cliffandsusan.live, and we are on almost all the socials at Cliff and Susan, so you can find us everywhere. Hopefully we'll be at the top of the page. I don't know if there's any other Cliff and Susans.
We really appreciate your time. This is awesome to be able to sit down with folks like you who have a heart for sharing music and stories. And I just commend you on your success as well. It's been awesome to hear your stories. And people can find us online. We're everywhere. And tell them to follow us and reach out to us. DM us. We like to, you know, strike up a conversation, and we may have a show near you, so we would love to see you in a venue as well.
Well, folks, that's been another episode of On the Road with Dr. Brian. Please make sure you follow and check out Cliff and Susan, and go see them at a show, maybe the casino or when they come to a town near you. And for those of you who have joined the channel, they're going to perform a quick song for us right here in the studio. So that's a members-only thing that I'll add in afterwards. If you're not a member, I hope you enjoyed this podcast. Thank you so much for listening, watching. This has been On the Road with Dr. Brian.
I'm here, I'm there, I'm everywhere. Blues, women, and blues. I'm here, I'm there, I'm everywhere.